Well, hello again. This is Mark Roberts with Affinity Asset Management. Thank you again for everybody for listening on the teleconference and all things kind of coronavirus and stock market related. Yet another very large turnout of attendees for this phone call. I'm very flattered that you guys want to keep listening in. We got new time callers as well, so obviously you guys are sharing the message on that, so we certainly appreciate that. Trying to make use of your time here for good information. Reminder that I have everybody muted right now, and I'll give you instructions at the end to unmute yourself so that you can ask some questions at the end. We have a special guest on the phone here with us today. We've got Todd Baker from JP Morgan. I'm going to introduce him here in a little bit. But Todd is also going to share his message from JP Morgan's perspective and be available for questions at the end. So as we jump into this, I just want to kind of pose a question to you guys. I've said this before. This is not me checking on to see if you are listening to what I'm saying. Just want to see if you think the way that we think. So as Affinity Asset Management, as your professional money managers, what would you say is our number one responsibility and our number two responsibility to you? What's our number one job, number two job? I asked that question. So at the end, when we get to the Q&A session, when you unmute yourself, you want to unmute and tell us what you think the number one, number two responsibility that we have to you is. I have a very distinct answer for that. And there's probably no wrong answer. There's lots of things that we do for you guys. I'm just looking for your opinions as to what you think is number one and then what you think is number two. So give it to me in that order. So we'll come back to that at the end. All right. So let's jump into some of the data that I have here for you today. I'm going to pick on the market. Start with that and talk about the performance of the market. Now, when I do these performances of what the market's doing, I just want you to know that I use the Dow. Now, the Dow is only made up of 30 stocks, 30 U.S. large cap stocks. It's not a great benchmark to use because it's only 30 stocks, and that's not reflective of all the other stocks and all the other industries and asset classes that are out there. It's just 30 stocks. The S&P 500 is actually a better barometer, but it's a lot like the Dow. It's 500 stocks, but it's U.S. large cap 500 stocks. It's just there's 500 instead of 30. The reason why I usually quote the Dow is because that's the most recognizable source that people know. If I said the Dow was at 23,500, that means something to you guys. But if I started quoting what the S&P being at 2805, most people don't necessarily know the numbers to the S&P. So when I'm doing benchmarks and comparisons, we're usually comparing ourselves to the S&P because that's a more broader perspective. But when we use the Dow, I'm usually going to talk about the Dow in the sense of what the performance is because that's what you're looking at on TV. All right. So having said that, last week, the market was up. Last week, we had more positive than negatives, and we were up a positive 2.2%. So that's not a lot. But over a year period of time, 2% growth in 1 week is actually very good. However, Monday this week, market's down a negative 2.44. Tuesday this week, yesterday, was negative 2.67. And today, right now, if the market was to close right this minute, we're up a little over 2%. So last week overall was basically washed out by Monday, and Tuesday was washed out by today. We're just in a period of about, let's call it 2 or 3 weeks now, of kind of being in a lull, like a flat area where the market went from 29,500 on February 19th all the way down on March 23rd, down to 18,500. It's kind of back up into that 23,000 range. It really hasn't seemed to punch through 24. It's not really dropping through 22,000. It's kind of hovering in a range. Probably just kind of as a wait and see for all the stuff that we know is out there and just kind of waiting for that information to kind of surface. All right, so let me give you some tidbits. Oh, I'm sorry, a couple more things on the market. The market since the February 19th high, the market is negative 21.57%. Last week I reported it was negative 18%. So obviously we've lost a little bit more since last week. But overall, since the high, we're still negative 21% in the market. And our bonds, since we got out of stocks, went into bonds, our actual performance of our bond model is just slightly negative, just a little below zero. It's between zero and a negative 1%. It just means that first week was a bad week, as we talked about, in the bond market, because the bond market and the stock market both equally, you know, they both dropped that week. But since then, the bonds have been very steady, been very consistent, kind of doing what we expect them to do, other than just that 1 week. So we're not quite back to breaking even on those bonds, but super close to it. And so we're happy to see the bonds performing five out of the last 6 weeks, kind of what we expect. All right, so some tidbits. Sarah had a great idea for us to share this regarding scams. There's a lot of things going out there, folks, on scams, so just be aware. Let me give you some stuff here. In a memo from the U.S. Attorney's Attorney General Barr, he said the pandemic is dangerous enough without wrongdoers seeking to profit from public panic, and this sort of conduct cannot be tolerated. Be cautious of unsolicited healthcare fraud schemes, of testing and treatments through emails, phone calls, or in person. So there's some testing schemes that are going on out there. Be aware of individuals who will contact you by in person, by phone or email, to tell you that the government or government officials are going to require you to get a COVID-19 test. These scammers are likely to ask you for healthcare information, including your Medicare and Medicaid number and other personal information. Scammers are working really hard right now to sell fake cures, treatments, and vaccines. You guys need to ignore these unsolicited offers, meaning you didn't ask for it, but they're soliciting you. You got to ignore that. I'm going to tell you, me personally, I'm 46. I don't know what it is about me at 46, middle age, but I am getting hit with all kinds of scams from emails, texts. I'm getting the oddest texts coming into my personal cell phone from the randomest places, just trying to get me to click on that link that they're putting into the text. I've also gotten, like 5 or 6 phone calls now in Mandarin, left messages on my voicemail. It's just the strangest thing. I don't know why we're getting those things, but if I'm getting them, a lot of other folks are going to get it. This reminded me of a story. I had a client that I just found out on Monday that passed away and been a client for a long time, and their family's been clients for a long time. His wife died just about 2 years ago, and he just died on Monday. And he was one of those people that was preyed victim to scammers a few years ago. And us and his daughter came in to try to help fix and rectify, but you really can't get fixed something that's already happened. So this is clearly something for our older population, our older retirees, that they're preying more on, because that's the folks who are more susceptible to the COVID-19, and everybody's obviously fearful of that. So I just ask you guys, if something looks fishy and you didn't make a phone call, you didn't request information yourself, it's likely to be fishy. And if you're not 100% sure, then don't call them back. Don't email them back. Don't do any of that. Talk to a loved one. Talk to a friend. Talk to a family member and see if they can look at it with you and together maybe come up with an opinion if this is fraud or not. It's just better to be safe than to be sorry. And we certainly don't want scammers to take advantage of you guys. More tidbits. Protests this past Monday seemed to be somewhat peaceful, throughout the United States. Didn't seem to be there was a lot of news on that. Basically, Americans, they're just wanting to get back to work. All right, so some facts. Coronavirus globally, 2.5 million cases with 179,000 deaths. Coronavirus here in the U.S., 819,000 cases, 45,000 deaths. Now, that's an increase from last week. When I did my teleconference last Wednesday, I reported 26,200 deaths. That's an increase of over 19,000 deaths. That's a 73% increase from last week to this week. So the numbers are still growing, but from a positive light, and kind of what politicians are trying to put a spin on it, is it's kind of flattening out a little bit, meaning from last week to the week before that, the increase in death cases went up 145%. Now, over the last 2 weeks, it went up 73%. So they're saying that's starting to come down, but the numbers are clearly still going up, just going up at a slower rate. So obviously that's a good thing. In Kansas, I'll just speak to Kansas and Missouri here, since we're based in Kansas City. 109 deaths in Missouri, 220 deaths. Now obviously Missouri's gonna have more because Missouri has quite a bit bigger cities like Kansas City and St. Louis in it. Another fact, oil prices have dropped dramatically a lot due to just the global economic demand. Tons of layoffs, people not working, they're not going anywhere. It's just less use of gas, period. Gas, 1 year ago, we looked this up, price per barrel was $65 a barrel. Today, it's at $14 a barrel. That's a massive drop in 1 year. Huge. And, of course, the oil industry is a very, very big industry. All right, let's switch gears and get over to highlights from analysts and economists. And, by the way, I should mention this. I don't think I did at the beginning. I tried to cut my material for today's conference down by about half of what I've been doing over the past weeks because I want to save some time for Todd, and Todd can share his perspective from what JP Morgan has to say on things. So if you see me kind of jumping through my stuff a little bit quicker, that's just because I'm intentionally giving you guys less information here today. All right, so from AllianceBernstein on Monday, based on initial jobless claims, the U.S. economy has lost 22 million jobs in 1 month, highlighting the severity of this recession for both the U.S. and global economy. However, many of the claims are from workers who are likely to be furloughed, meaning hopefully come back to work. And so if this lockdown doesn't last too long, hopefully a lot of Americans can get their old jobs back pretty quickly. I personally know quite a few people who are in that status where they're supposed to be being furloughed, they're laid off so they can collect unemployment and help that company not go under it, with the anticipation that they're going to get hired back. There's just no guarantees to if people get hired back because of how things are going to change and how that company was hurt. They might not hire back that full staff. So that's still the concern that we have out there. From Capital Group, which is American Funds. This is interesting because when I personally, as a financial advisor, I think of American Funds, I think of a good mutual fund company that has really good stock-based mutual funds. A lot of them are overlapping, and you can probably have 10 different American Fund mutual funds, but they're picking a lot of the same stocks, but very good, solid stock-based mutual fund company. I picked this because they're talking about fixed income, which is another way of talking about bonds, and I thought this was a nice thing to say in here, which also kind of confirms and solidifies the things that we've already been doing on our bond side of our portfolio. Fixed income, or bonds, is key to successful investing during a recession or bear markets. That's because bonds can provide an essential measure of stability and capital preservation, especially when equity markets are so volatile. Over the last six market corrections, the U.S. bond market returns, as measured by the Barclays U.S. Aggregate Index, was either flat or positive five of those six periods. So I put that in there because I have people ask me questions about bonds and ask me questions, why would we get out of a diversified portfolio to go into bonds? Why are you wanting to get back into stocks? Why are you doing they're asking some questions, which are good questions to ask. But the root of the question boils down to, don't stocks and bonds work opposite of each other? No, they don't. Stocks can go up, bonds can go up at the same time. Stocks can go down, bonds can go down at the same time. Sometimes one is up and one is down, and vice versa. So they don't work opposite of each other. If it was, then it'd be very simple as investors, all of us as investors, to throw all of our money in stocks during good times and then take it out and throw it all into bonds in bad times. So this is the third time in my almost, it'll be 24-year career in June. So third time in almost 24 years I've had to do this. First was in 2001. The second one was at the end of 2007 for the whole 2008 time frame, and then now. In 2001, we did the same thing that we're doing today. We got out of the stock side of clients' portfolios, went into bonds, strictly bonds, sat there until we're ready to get back into a diversified stock bond mix for the future. At the end of 2007, we got out of stocks and bonds because the bond market was also taking a beating like the stock market was, and there was no safe haven to grow money during that time frame. So we went all to going all to cash. So at the end of 07, we took stocks and bonds, went to cash. This time around, as we saw things, you know, developing, we don't see that this is a hit on the bond market. Sure, the bond market had a bad week there, but overall, the bond market's actually done very well. So we're glad we didn't go all cash. We went to bonds. We still have some cash in some of the models and in some of that, but basically no stocks, and everybody has a combination of some cash and bonds, mostly made up of bonds. So we're very thankful for that. And here's American Funds kind of saying the exact same thing. So here's a new one I got from a client of ours who's a representative of another major mutual fund company. And one of the people in their home office, Phil Orlando with Federated, gave us some probabilities. And this is how their analysts and economists see things. 80% probability that the coronavirus infections will peak by the end of April. So basically saying, hopefully by the end of April, we have a really high chance that number is going to peak, and hopefully in May, the numbers will start to go down. But that also makes me think as well that if it's going to peak in April, we still have a lot of numbers, even though the numbers are coming down in, let's say, May and June and July. How much longer is this lockdown going to continue on? So just because the numbers are going down doesn't mean that we're necessarily safer. So there's a good chance that the lockdowns may still continue on. 80% probability that stocks will plunge, rally, retest old lows, and then turn into a W-shaped market. They're basically, that 80% probably is what we've been talking about quite a few times in these emails and teleconferences. We believe that the market's going to go back down again. I don't know if plunge is a harsh word, but we think it's going to go down, retest the old low that we had on March 23rd, maybe hit somewhere around that 18.5, maybe even lower, someplace in that range, before it comes back up again. There is a 10% probability that we're going to go into a deep depression into 2021. So they're giving that a very small chance that the U.S. economy is going to go into deep depression. Also, they're giving small probability, only 10% probably, that stocks are going to rebound back to record highs that we had in February 19th, that we're going to hit those record highs again by the end of the year. So they're saying very small probability that we're going to rebound that fast this year. There's a lot of probability numbers I got from them. I just cherry-picked those four because I thought they were easy to understand, and we totally agree with those four probabilities ourselves. All right, so let me give you a couple news, and this is more like news from the news, not news from analysts or economists. And so when I say news from the news, it was usually some kind of drama or triggering of emotions when you hear it on TV or the internet. From CNBC, state and local governments are warning of a wave of layoffs and pay cuts after getting left out of federal coronavirus relief package expected to pass Congress this next week. In many places, such as Detroit and Los Angeles, those painful reductions are already taking shape. Basically, what this is trying to say is in that first stimulus package, most of that money was going to, let's say, like the individual person, going to the small business owners. But as you guys probably know this, that local, let's say state and local governments are funded by taxes. And if we have a lot less people working and a lot less taxes being generated, we're going to have a lot of problems with, you know, layoffs happening at the state and local levels of those state employees. And that makes us also wonder on our end, how is this going to affect all of those state and local workers that work for the state, work for the government in some capacity at the state level? How is this going to affect their pensions? You know, here in Missouri and Kansas, we got some really nice pensions in these two states, but how is this going to affect it if there's looking at layoffs and the tax revenue is dropping drastically, and it's going to take a very long time to heal what's already been lost? So that's kind of a concern for us. Let's see here. State and local governments received very little aid under the $2.2 trillion CARES Act that was signed last month, and they are pleading for new relief as Congress prepares to pass the next bill, which is designed to help small businesses and hospitals. This next one I kind of thought was interesting, and I put this in here. This is from MarketWatch. This is definitely triggering emotions here. I'm just going to read you the caption to the article without actually reading you the article or reading you any snippets from the article. I'm just going to read you the headline. This is what people see. Ooh, do I want to click on this to read it? Why a return to normal, in quotes, return to normal, could mean disaster for the stock market. Why a return to normal could mean a disaster to the stock market. And don't we all want to return to normal? Yes, we all do. But why is that going to be a disaster to the stock market? So as I was reading that article, I'm not going to use this. But I just wanted to throw in a glimpse of kind of how the news likes to report news to kind of scare people into reading more of their news, clicking their clicks on their websites, turning in the news on the TV, that kind of stuff. So we like to get our data straight from analysts and economists. All right, let's get into some opportunities. On some of the opportunities, some of the stuff you've heard me say before, but again, we got some new people on here, and so we have some people that haven't listened to every single teleconference. Here's a new one. Do-it-yourselfers that are out there that like to do your own tax returns. Our broker-dealer, Client One Securities, has now gotten some kind of software that's updated that's now integrated with TurboTax. So without having to do all a bunch of the manual entries that you've used to been doing on TurboTax, you can now download stuff directly from the Client One's portal on your 1099s down into your TurboTax. So yay for that. I was told it's going to be happening in a couple of days. And if you have any problems or questions with that, we'll just direct you directly to Client One. You can call them and see if they can help you walk you through it. I'd have to imagine any new technology is going to have some kind of bug in the system at first until it gets worked out. But we've gotten the thumbs up from Client One to talk about this. Roth conversions. You know, you hear me talk about Roth conversions all the time. I don't necessarily need to beat the drum here on this one, but I just want to say that at Affinity, we've had probably a record number of Roth conversions that we've done this year, more so than any other year. And a lot of it has to do with the coronavirus. So the problem with a Roth conversion is you're willingly signing a form to trigger taking money out of your IRA, triggering this tax today, the tax that you have to pay in 2020, so that you can have that money moved over to a Roth IRA so it can grow forever tax-free. It'll grow tax-free, you can withdraw tax-free, it'll go to your beneficiaries tax-free, and there's no RMD rules on a Roth IRA. It's a no-brainer. The tax we pay today is so small compared to the tax savings we have in the future being so huge. It's a no-brainer. But although we meet new folks all the time and we talk about doing Roth conversions, I would probably say that maybe 30% of our clients actually do Roth conversions on a yearly basis, like what we're recommending. Meaning 70% hear us, they kind of want to do it, but they just can't get past the fact of the tax this year. And so the tax savings in the future is being clouded by the fact that they owe the tax today. So we've had a record number of Roth conversions this year. I'd say it's a lot in part to you guys that are listening on these teleconferences, hearing us talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. And more importantly, talk about the why you want to do it. It just makes more sense if you hear it a couple of times and then you read it in the newsletters or the emails I'm sending out every Monday as well. So I want to say thank you guys for that. Trust me, it doesn't make us any money for you guys to do Roth conversions. We're spending tons and tons of our time processing the service request that is no cost to you, and we don't make any money doing it. But it's the right thing to do because it's the right thing for your portfolio, and you will be rewarded over time. The more money you have in these Roth IRAs, just compound growing for you tax-free. So congratulations for all of you who've done that. Another one is, again, those of you who have like IRA type of accounts that are in indexed style annuities, to do 10% transfers out of that back over into your brokerage account to give more horsepower to your brokerage account. So when you go from brokerage bonds and it's going to go to brokerage bonds and stock combinations, when the market comes back up, you'll have more horsepower to grow for you. So that's another opportunity. Cycle trading, I'm going to continue to talk about this just because it is something unique. And again, cycle trading is just my terminology. That's not an industry terminology, and I'm just trying to find verbiage that if I say it, it's going to make the most sense to people on this call or these emails, because there are folks that we're talking to that have a variety of, some are super analytical and some are less analytical. So cycle trading just means we're looking at the W and we're looking for obvious points that make sense for us to buy or to sell. We do not want to day trade. I do not want to make promises. I do not want to give you a number of how many times we're going to do this. I cannot tell you a day or a number on the market where the market has to hit before we're going to do it. It's just day by day based on what the market is doing and the information behind it that's generating it. But right now we have 3 points of the W, and we believe there's going to be multiple more points still to come, but we've had 3 points. The first point was, let's call it 29,500 back on February 19th. That's the high point. And drop it down to the first bottom part of the W is the second point, where it dropped down to 18,500 on March 23rd. And then it came back up to like a little bit of a rally coming up. And the third point would be kind of like where we're at right now, about 23,000, where we've been hovering around that 23,000 range for about 2 or 3 weeks now. So if the market's to drop to 20, if it's dropped to 19 or 18, like a lot of analysts and economists are predicting, then we want to get back in. I just want you to know, we're going to have to be lucky to buy in on the best day possible. We're going to have to be lucky to sell out on the best day possible, because we don't have a crystal ball, so you just have to be lucky for that. What we want to do is make calculated decisions that this right now is a better time to buy than it was before. This time right now is a better time to sell than it was before, to take advantage of these little opportunities. And we're not looking for home runs. I really want to be clear on this. We're not trying to look for home runs. We're trying to be safe. We're trying to do it smart. And if we can make 3%, 4%, 5%, 6% in short little periods of time, if we do this once, twice, three times, four times over the period of the next 6 to 10 months, that's not much, but that adds up a lot. That helps recover the dip that we had when this coronavirus started, and that helps get you on the right track so when the market does come out of this WWW-shaped market and into the next full bull market cycle, you're going to be positioned for that. So again, cycle trading is another opportunity. So let me make a comment here. Guys, this is your money, okay? It's our job to take the emotions out of making financial decisions for you. We look at the black and whites, and then we're deciphering in the gray areas to make the best decisions for you, because what's in your best interest is in our best interest. So if you are adamant and you say, I want to get back into the stock market right now, well, you got to just call us and let us know, Okay, we're going to listen to you, and ultimately, it's your request, it's your money. If you say, Mark, no, I don't want to get back in the market. I'm going to stay in bonds for the next year or two. I don't want to get back in the market. Well, you got to call us and let us know. What we don't want is to have a whole bunch of clients asking for random one-off scenarios where it's custom and it's unique to you, because then it becomes unmanageable for us. And everything we have is scalable so that we can treat all accounts, all clients, any age, any size of accounts, treat everybody equally and at the exact same time to get those benefits for everybody. So if you want to go in or you want to stay out, you just got to let us know. Anything partials between or these halvesies kind of things in the middle, that's going to be way too difficult for that kind of stuff to accomplish. And last, in-service rollovers. I really, really want to ask every one of you guys who's on this phone call, if you have a job and you are still working and you have a 401k and you are still adding to that 401k, do not call your HR department. I'm asking you to call your 401k company, whatever 401k company that you have, call them, 800 number, ask them for what's called an in-service rollover. Ask if you have the ability to do an in-service rollover. In-service is in-service. I'm still in service working. I still want to keep my 401k. I still want to add to my 401k. I still want my employer to match my 401k. But an in-service rollover means we're just going to take a chunk of that money out of the 401k and roll it over into your personal IRA. And when you do it from a 401k to an IRA, it's not taxable. I don't think I ever see fees ever to get out of a 401k. And with us, we never charge any fees or commissions to get into an IRA. So it's like a no-cost situation. But what you're doing is you're getting money out of a 401k where you have no financial help. You have a limited menu of investment options. And then you definitely cannot do any kind of tax-saving strategies from a 401k. You get that rolled over to an IRA with us. Now you have us. You have all of the technology and the power and the muscle with us to manage that for you. You have an unlimited menu of investment options, as well as to be able to do these tax-saving strategies that we've been talking about so much. So ask your 401k company if you have access to an in-service rollover. If you get no, then I suggest you hang up, call back in the next day, and ask another person. If you get no twice, then that probably means no. I found that many times customer service people read the documents wrong, and sometimes people get a no when it's actually a yes. So I want you to call back a second time just to verify that answer. If you get an answer yes, great, yay for you. Just ask how much of your 401k is available to do the in-service rollover. And most of the time it's 100%. But every once in a while we see some kind of limits on that. So just ask about that. All right, so often the opportunities, let's kind of clean this up here on some reminders for you guys. Referrals. I'm sorry to kind of keep bringing this up. I'm not the kind of guy, as most of you know, that asks for referrals. We're very successful. We get a lot of referrals naturally. On these emails, these teleconferences, I'm really going out of my way to ask for referrals because this is something I'm extremely passionate about. Any one of us on the phone can put a mask on, put gloves on, and go make foods, help pass out things, go serve our community in a variety of ways to help out and kind of give back to our community. We can all do these things. But us here at Affinity, we have a skill set. We have an amazing pool of talent in this office and a pool of knowledge in this office that is just super unique to other financial advisors, as you all know. And to help others that are paralyzed and they don't know what to do, or people who use financial advisors where the financial advisor is paralyzed and they don't do anything, we ask you to refer them to us. So I've been talking about this a lot, and here's kind of a little bit of a funny story. I've been talking to my back office compliance at Client One Securities, who are great people. We love these guys. What can I do to entice? What can I do to motivate my clients besides just doing the right thing? Can we at Affinity kind of somehow entice clients? And boy, there's all kinds of rules and regulations on this subject. So we thought, well, gosh, can we lower our clients' fees if they give us a referral? No, that's a form of enticement or rebating. Could we give clients like a gift card? No, that's a form of enticement rebating. There's these things that advisors just can't do, especially when I put this in a teleconference or an email and I'm like mass reporting it, things we just can't do. So I got compliance to agree that starting today, anybody that gives us a referral, we're gonna send you an Amazon gift card. Now here's the key. We have to put your name in a drawing. I just can't send an Amazon gift card to every single person that gives me a referral because that's against compliance. That's against the law. We can't do that. But I can put your name in a drawing. So again, to kind of be creative with this, I talked to client one, well, what if for every 10 referrals we get, can I do 9 drawings where 9 out of the 10 people can get their name drawn and get an Amazon gift card. So 9 of the 10 people can get an Amazon gift card for going out of their way to give us a referral. That is acceptable. Now, I know that sounds silly, but doing random drawings like that and to draw like 9 out of 10 times, I've gotten client one's blessing that I can do that for you. So I'm trying to sweeten the pot here. I'm trying to say thank you. I'm trying to motivate you to please help the people in your life that you are, that you know, that you care about, that you love, and refer them to us so that we can help them. Again, questions. If you guys have questions or you need advice, please feel free to pick up the phone and give us a call. If you know what you want to do, like you want to process a Roth conversion, you want to do this or that with your accounts, just shoot us an email. Anybody in the office that you have our emails, shoot us an email. If it's not to the right person, we will forward it to the right person to get that taken care of. We're always going to reply back to your email just to let you know that we got it so that you're not wondering, you know, if we got the email or not. So call if you need questions or advice and email us any service requests like a Roth conversion or 10% withdrawal from an annuity to your IRA or such like that. All right. I'm about ready to finish up here. I'm going to introduce Todd here in just a second. I want to remind you of my question that I asked at the beginning, that during the Q&A session when everybody can unmute their phone, here's my question. What do you think, the way we look at it, at Affinity Asset Management, how do you think we look at it as what is our number one job, our number two job for you guys? What is our number one priority and two priority? In that order, write that down, and when we get to Q&A session, tell me what you think. Again, there's not going to be a wrong answer. I just want to tell you what our opinion is on it. We're probably going to be close, and some of you may be spot on. So I'll ask that in just a little bit. So, all right, having said that, last thing I'm going to mention is we did a webinar last week, myself and Glenn Stockton, on estate planning. It was highly attended. Gosh, we had lots of people on. Got lots of compliments and thank yous and great feedback. So for those of you who listened to that webinar, thank you so much. We're having some issues with the vendor that we're using for the webinar to invite more people to it. So if you want to come to a future webinar, I would just say probably just why don't you email Kelly or Stacy in my office. Stacy is STACY at affinityasset.com. Kelly is KELLIE at affinityasset.com. Just email one of them too that, hey, you would like to be on a future teleconference. If you can't make a future teleconference, we can always send you the recording of what we did. And you can put it up on your computer. You can actually watch it, hear it, the whole nine yards. We can send you last week's one very easily and, you know, run with the information as you want from there. All right. Having said that, Todd is on the phone with us. Todd Baker with J.P. Morgan. Our office, we call him the Bakes. That's our nickname for him, and lovingly saying that because we think Todd is a rock star. Todd's been with J.P. Morgan for 10 years. He's been working with Affinity Asset Management for the last 7 years. Todd's been very instrumental to our team and to our investment committee when it comes to helping us research investments and providing data to us that the brilliant analysts and economists that J.P. Morgan has on their team back down to us in a format that we can use it, in a format that we can take advantage of it, so that we can help make decisions for our clients on how we manage and diversify from there. So Todd's official title, he is the executive director of J.P. Morgan. So Todd, go ahead. Why don't you chime in? I know you have some talking points. Let's just turn it over to you and let you run with it from there. Do me a favor just to speak a little louder, if you would, please. So that's good. Thank you, Todd. Well, thank you, Todd. Gosh, that was great. I got to say, none of that was really new to us. We're so close to you. We get this information all the time, but it's great for you to share that with everybody on this call here. And so thank you for doing that. I was just making some of my notes here as well, and I like how you said clickbait. I think we can all relate to that. You know, you click here because they're trying to bait you into something and bait you into a topic or an article to read. And that those clicks sell advertising, and just like the news does. I like the confirmation bias. You know, you may have an opinion on something, you may think a certain way, and you're like three clicks away from finding somebody out there somewhere on the internet who's going to agree to what you already said and just kind of confirms your bias, whether it's right or wrong, it kind of confirms it. And it's just amazing since 1990 that you talked about the news to 30 years from now, 30 years later, here we are at 2020, how much more access we all have to information at our fingertips everywhere we go 24/7, specifically right there on our cell phones. Confirmation bias, I thought that was great. But I think one of the things I probably took out of that the most was the biggest concern that you guys see at JP Morgan is, what's the new normal going to look like? And what we think is the normal, let's say in 2019, we don't know if we're going to see what that normal looks like. Again, we don't know how long it's going to be before we have another year like a 2019. So what's the new norm going to be, and how long is it going to take us to get to back to what the old norm used to look like? That's pretty powerful. Powerful stuff. Todd, thank you so much. Guys, here's the ground rules. To unmute your phone, to ask a question, or to respond to my question, what you think is the top two responsibilities we at Affinity Asset Management think that we have for our clients. Top number one, number two. To unmute your phone, you just need to click *7 on your phone. That will just individually unmute you. Just do me a favor, please be aware of your background noise. First come, first serve, shout out the question. Just tell us your first name. A lot of times I know your voices and I know who you are. You don't definitely need to give us your last name, but just your first name is fine. And address the question either to Todd or myself or to both of us. That way we know, you know, who's going to respond to that. So go ahead and unmute yourself by hitting *7, and we'll go ahead and take the first question. As I'm looking here, Todd, my email, I've already gotten emails from people with the answers to questions. They're not calling, they're actually emailing. And the first one I looked at from Leonard Wilson here. Leonard, you're absolutely right. Thank you for listening. I'm not going to say what the answer is, but he's right. All right, who's got questions for us? Vince, go ahead. Well, thank you, Vince, for that comment. I'll just make a quick comment. The key is information, and there's no crystal ball. Everybody knows on this teleconference there's no crystal balls. But the key is access to good information from the right type of analyst and economist and not utilizing the news. And partners like what we have with Todd and JP Morgan is very important for us. They've been very instrumental to us for years and a lot of decisions that we made over the years and will continue to be instrumental and important to us moving forward in the future. So, you know, every day, every week, every month goes by, there's new information with new sets of data that we use in our office to make the best decisions to diversify clients' portfolios. So I'm not sure how more to respond to that than that. I don't know that I agree with that, Vince. I'll say that just because there's just we have access to so much more investments these days than we ever did in the past. And you're working with somebody like us where we're completely independent. So as independent financial advisors, we basically have access to the world of things. There's a lot of really good financial advisors that are out there, but they work for home offices. And not that there's anything wrong with those companies that are home offices, but those advisors don't work for you. They work for their home offices, and the home offices make override and compensation off everything the advisor sells. So therefore, the home office will dictate what to sell, what not to sell, and very kind of limiting or minimizing the menu that financial advisors would have for their clients. And being independent like us, we basically have the full menu of everything. So thank you for your comments there. Let's move on if we can. Anybody else have any other questions? Hey, Janie. Well, I mean, the best way I try to say it is, I think there's an element in truth in all the news that we hear on the TV and the internet. I mean, there's an element of truth, but the news on the TV or the internet is selling something. They're selling their ad space. They're selling commercials. They have incentive to get people to listen to them or to click on them, like what Ty called clickbait. The information that we get from analysts and economists using companies like JP Morgan or BlackRock or Oppenheimer, Bank of America, you know, all these great companies that are out there, there's nothing to sell. We're just getting straight, raw facts, raw data, black and white. There's not a lot of gray with them because they're not forecasting predictions of things. They're not telling us emotional things. It's just straight black and white data. So again, not having a crystal ball moving forward in the future, what we can do is work on what we have, what are the facts here, and then we have to make our educated decisions moving forward. And we're doing that not only collectively with in my office alone, we have 133 years of combined experience just in my investment committee alone. Much less, that doesn't even include the resources that we have with all the great companies and people like Todd that are out there. So I'm not sure necessarily how to answer your question. Until cities start opening up and things start happening, at the bottom line is people have to get back to work, they gotta start making money, and we have to get back to spending money. As Todd said earlier, 70% of our GDP is driven by consumption, which means us spending money. And a big chunk of us spending money means we have to actually go someplace to spend it. So until that stuff happens, we're not going to get people out there who's going to spend money, start building up the economy again. People are not going to start throwing their money back into stocks, growing the stock market again, you know, for some time. We're going to have these short little rallies and short little dips and short little rallies and short little dips and have this W. So what we're going through for every one of us on this phone call, this is new for us. I feel like we can have some understanding to 2008 time frame. I think we can have some understanding to 2001 time frame. But this is a virus.
This is a virus where the government literally like wanted to shut the entire country down. This is new. So I'm thankful that I have the amazing people around me here in this office, as well as the people like Todd that's outside our office, who we call our strategic partners, that we can lean on for data, so that we as advisors that are managing your money and making decisions for your money, we're not relying on the same news that gets paid for us to watch them. We're not relying on the new news that we get from the internet because of ad space, because we click on it to get information. We want to take the emotions out and try to do the best we can, just looking at raw data and make our decisions on how we diversify. I don't know if I can say anything more to that, Jeannie, because it's a little bit of a crystal ball kind of a conversation into the future, but we're going to see it and deal with it as it comes. But we're here monitoring this every single day. And that's the key, is that we're actively watching and managing every single day. I don't know, Todd, do you have anything that you can maybe add on top of that? Thank you for that. Yep. Thank you for that. All right. Anybody else have any other questions or comments for us? By the way, does anybody have an answer to the question what our top two priorities are? What we believe our top two priorities are. Yeah. And keep us informed. Okay. You got one of those two correct. Both of those are correct, but one of those two is not, I would say, in my top two. I'll give the answer here in a little bit here. I'll give a couple other people a chance to get that correct, but thank you, Jeannie. Sigh in the office. Go ahead. All right, great question. So we talk a lot about Roth conversions. Folks, there's two ways for us to pay the taxes when we do a Roth conversion. Number one is what's called tax withholding. Number two is pay it from an outside source. So number one means tax withholding. Let's just use an example. We take $50,000 out of an IRA, and we're going to do a conversion on that to a Roth IRA. But we're going to do tax withholding on that $50,000. So let's say it caused you $10,000 in tax. To do option one, tax withholding, we will take $50,000 out of the IRA. We will send $10,000 of it over to the IRS to do tax withholding for you, just like a paycheck would. And then we will take the other remaining $40,000 and move it over into the Roth IRA to grow over there tax-free. So you took $50,000 out, paid $10,000 on tax, and converted $40,000 into the Roth. That's tax withholding. Number two option, paying tax from an outside source, means I'm going to take $50,000 out of the IRA. I'm going to put the full $50,000 into the Roth IRA, and the $10,000 tax that I owe, I'm going to take it from an outside source, like money I have in another investment account or money I have in the bank, like checkings or savings. Option two is always the best option. The reason why is because if you're going to take 50 out and pay tax on 50, you'd like to get the full 50 into the Roth IRA, growing full 50,000 tax-free. That's the goal, not grow 40,000 of it tax-free. Tax withholding option one is better than nothing. It's better than not having anything at all. But option two is definitely the better option, paying it from an outside source. Some of the problems that we have is that not all clients have enough money in other accounts, like other non-qualified or what's known as non-IRA-based investment accounts with us, or they don't have enough money in bank accounts to use option two as an outside source. So option one is just fine. And again, option one is better than doing nothing at all. We want those Roth conversions to happen so you can have tax-free forever. And in our look at it, with a $22 trillion deficit and a big, you know, $2.2 trillion stimulus package, and that's looking to grow, taxes are going to have to go up. And I think we can all agree on this phone call that taxes are going to go up in our lifetime. It's probably going to go up much sooner than later. And who knows if part of the tax going up in the future doesn't include the possibility of changing Roth IRA rules. So anytime you do something, you're grandfathered in. So the more we do now, if taxes go up later, you come out ahead. If they change the rules and get rid of Roth IRA rules, you still come out ahead because you're always grandfathered in. So good question. Number one is tax withholding. Number two is paying the tax from an outside source, and we prefer number two. Good question. Anybody else have any other questions, or you know an answer to what you think affinity is number one and number two priorities are? Jeannie says, protect our money, and number two is to give us information. I can tell that's the voice of Maureen Rich. Yes, that's the correct answer. Protect the money, grow the money. That's our number one, number two priorities. Thank you for that. Rich, you got a question, or anybody else have a question for us? All right, if we have no other questions, we'll go ahead and end today's call. I want to thank everybody so very much for being on this teleconference and taking an hour out of your day to listen to us yap. I hope this was good information. I hope this was in simple form that you liked. We're going to continue to do these emails every Monday and these teleconferences every Wednesday to keep you informed. Jeannie's second answer was to keep people informed. I'm going to put that as probably like number three or number four priority for us. Clients who are educated are clients who have less stress and anxiety, and we think that's an important part of what we do is answer questions, but be proactive and share information with you that you haven't asked about, because not everybody knows what to ask for. So thank you guys so very much. Be healthy, be safe, think about your community. If you get the opportunity to talk about us with your friends, please do so. Take care, everybody. Thank you, Todd, so much for joining us.